Hello everyone, you're very welcome along on this latest audio walk from Open Country. My name's Tom and you join me today on a beautiful spring-like day. I can hear skylarks dancing above me in front of a beautiful blue backdrop. There's a few wispy stratus clouds high up in the atmosphere. But otherwise, the sky is blue and the sun is casting a beautiful warm hue across the landscape stretching out before us. Just poking up above the trees that I can see opposite, I can see the corner of the roof of Harewood House, which is where we're doing our audio walk today. It's taken on many guises since it was first built in 1759. But today it's very much based around the tourism industry. People can go in and marvel at the incredibly ornate rooms, and the landscaped grounds provide ample space for country shows and car rallies and various different other events throughout the year. But our walk today is going to take us around the perimeter of the estate, through ancient woodland, through a deer park, and also past the home of one of the UK's most loved and most watched television programmes. So let's put our best foot forward and explore the Harewood Estate. A walk starting through what's known as Stubhouse Plantation, which is an area of woodland at the far west end of the estate. I'm currently standing in an area surrounded by rhododendron trees. A lot of them have little conical shaped buds on them, ready to burst forth later on in the spring, where this area will be a beautiful wash of various different coloured flowers. Rhododendrons are absolutely stunning when they're out in flower, but they are quite an invasive species, and if they're not managed, they can take over, which they do look to be doing here. They're absolutely sprawling everywhere with their little weaving branches and trunks that sort of take over the woodland floor, almost like alien creatures. They do have the effect of swamping other woodland floor growth, which can start to destroy a woodland. So as I say, you do need to keep them in check. A little bit earlier on, there were quite a lot of bluebells starting to sprout. Flowers not quite out yet, but definitely the green shoots showing themselves through the brown of the winter-clad soil. But here, where the rhododendrons are, there's nothing growing on the floor at all, which just goes to show how much they can take over. Apart from the path that we're walking along, there isn't really that much evidence of human activity here. I suppose the landscape has been carved out by humanity over the years, but everything around us is very natural, from the sprouting spring growth to the towering trees to our left and right. But just through the trees to our right-hand side, I can make out some buildings. And the buildings that we can see make up what is known as Emmerdale Village. Some of you listening to this may be familiar with the popular television soap opera Emmerdale, which is actually filmed here. It was once filmed in the little village of Esholt, not too far from Bradford, which I've featured in a previous audio walk. But a number of years ago it was moved to this purpose-built site. And now it's got catering facilities and everything that all the crew need to get them through a tough day of filming. As you wander down this path, you can often hear the shout of action as the filming commences. But today, it's still pretty peaceful. So I'm going to continue on and enjoy my natural surroundings. We've now nearly made it down into the bottom of the valley. And we've met a much wider stream, in fact, you'd almost call it a river, flowing down to the lake at the bottom of the valley. And in front of us, carving a beautiful scene in between tall coniferous trees, is this series of waterfalls flowing down the river. The water glowing white as it bubbles over a series of weirs, with a larger fall right at the top. As I turn to my left to follow the path in the direction that our walk's leading us on, there's a lovely ornate bridge over the river with columns at the top, which are now being swamped by ivy, which is providing a green little jumper across the bridge. And it's made of stone, so it's probably not keeping it warm, but it's nice to think of it from that sort of perspective. It's the first real evidence that we've seen of this sculptured estate. It is making progress for humanity much easier around these natural obstacles. But with that ivy coat on the bridge, it is nice to see that nature is once again proving to us that it really does own the place. Anyway, seeing as we're nearly at the bottom of the valley, I suppose what goes down must go up again. I feel like we've got a bit of a climb ahead of us now as we continue across the fields up towards the main road. Oh, that certainly warmed me up. I promised you a hill, and a hill is what we just had. We're nearly at the top of it now, so I'm catching my breath in this absolutely spectacular landscape. It's what I would probably call a quintessentially British scene. We've got these rolling green fields, which are inhabited by a herd of Highland cattle. The majority of them have these really dense orange woolly coats. Some of them are all black, but they all have these curved horns protruding from their heads, which makes them look quite menacing actually, whereas in reality they're quite docile creatures. Around us you can see pockets of woodland and Even the fields are dissected by these ancient oak trees, which would have been planted probably during the house's construction. And behind us, over my left-hand shoulder, we can see the grand facade of the house itself, with turrets at either end and a large bit in the middle. It dominates the top of the valley as it looks over the lake at the bottom. For the Lascelles family, who have owned it ever since the estate was built, it must have changed very little, this view, over the years. It really is a spectacular sight. Well, I think I've got my breath back now, so we must continue onwards as we head towards another pocket of woodland on the eastern edge of the estate. As we continue along this weaving track across the fields, avoiding the cowpats that the Highland cattle have kindly left for us, the sun just keeps glinting off the front of Harewood House, and it really is a wonderful sight as I look back across the valley, framed by the old oak trees in the fields. And every so often I'm hearing the cry of a red kite. Red kites are, again, quite menacing looking creatures. They're spectacular birds of prey, given the name because they have a kite-shaped tail and their feathers have a reddish hue. Their wingspan can stretch up to 2 metres wide, which just gives you a sense of scale. And these days they're quite prevalent in especially this area of West Yorkshire and across parts of North and East Yorkshire as well. Harewood Estate was one of the projects where they released red kites back in the 1990s. The ones at Harewood were released in 1999, and to this day they're absolutely thriving. It's wonderful to see. And here at Harewood you often see not just one or two in the sky, but at some points in the past I've seen up to 14 birds circling above me. It really is a spectacular sight. The cry of the red kite that I was referring to earlier on is really quite diminutive compared to the bird's size and presence. It's quite a shrill peeping noise, which can often be mistaken for the sound of other birds of prey, especially buzzards. In fact, buzzards are much more vocal than red kites, so when you hear that noise you automatically think, oh, it's a buzzard, but in this area you think, no, actually that's definitely going to be a red kite, because this is definitely a red kite stronghold. As we make our way along through this next section of woodland, we've got the rumbling sound of cars in the background, as just off to our right is the A61, which runs between Leeds, Harrogate, and then further on up to Ripon, as the road crosses the boundary from west into North Yorkshire. I've just been talking about red kites and how this is a stronghold for them, but just from a tree just the other side of the road that I can see through the other beech trees that are making up this pocket of woodland, I've just seen a buzzard take off, would you believe? Again, fantastic to see. Buzzards are similar in stature to red kites, but obviously don't have that reddish hue to them. They're much more brown in nature, but still beautiful to see. just goes to show that even when you're next to a busy road, nature is still not too far away. We've now popped out of the wood into Harewood Village, which was once the home to all of the estate workers, but now it's all residential houses and a rather affluent area of North Leeds. As the A61 continues to rumble on to my right-hand side, I'm now faced with the grand archway into the estate, which is made of impressive Yorkshire stone. And just imagine the horses and carts trundling through it on the way down the grand entranceway towards the house. Today it's used by the thousands of tourists that visit the site every year. And just around me at my feet, in this grassed area next to the entrance, it's awash with colourful crocuses. As much as it was pleasant to amble through Harewood Village looking at the impressive architecture, it is nice to get away from that road. We've now branched off to the left down Church Lane, and we've made it to the Muddy Boots Cafe, which is a popular spot for walkers in the area, weary after trudging round the estate and getting sustenance from the tea, coffee and copious amounts of cakes and buns that they sell. I must admit, it's not really my scene. I much prefer to be out here in the wild, so I'm continuing along Church Lane down towards the church, which the lane of course is named after, and the deer park. But at the moment my eyes are trained skywards, because circling in the air above us a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 red kites. This is quite a hot spot for them around the cafe, because I think that local residents will often feed them. And of course, where there's food, you'll find red kites in Harewood. But it is lovely to see them whiffling around with the backdrop of the stratus cloud-clad blue sky, listening to those distinctive peeping calls. It's going to be difficult to tear myself away, but I know the rest of the walk beckons. I'm keeping my voice down here because just in the wood to our right, there are some fallow deer. They're just minding their own business at the moment, nibbling around in the undergrowth in the trees. We are very nearly at the deer park. They must have just strayed a little. Even though I'm talking ever so quietly, they know I'm here. Ears pricked and looking in my direction. So I'm just going to stand still and keep quiet and enjoy the moment. We've now entered into a sun-bathed Harewood churchyard. The grand church is just in front of us, and to our right is a whole host of old gravestones which are moss-clad and showing their age. Some of the font on the graves themselves decaying. A lot of them dating back well into the early 1800s. Around us there's just a cacophony of bird song as we're flanked on three sides of the churchyard by woodland, and the other side looks back across the impressive Harewood estate beyond. It's equally beautiful at this time of year as well, because although the snowdrops are going over, they're providing a carpet of white around the graves. It's very atmospheric, very beautiful. It's the sort of place where I could just sit for hours and just enjoy the sounds and the experience of just being here. But time waits for no audio walker. We'll make our way back through the deer park, I think, as much as I really would like to stay here a little bit longer. The woodland has now opened out once again into the rolling, quintessential British landscape of countryside. We're now on the northern edge of the estate, but it's very much similar to the southern edge, with the oak trees dotting the open grassland. The only difference here is we've got deer keeping us company instead of the Highland cattle. There's some more friends of those fallow deer that we encountered earlier on. Just again, relaxing in this quintessentially British landscape. It's also here where spectacular views over the Wharfe Valley around us start to open up. As I look across, it's almost all of my other audio walks coming back into play as I look across the valley. We've got Armscliff Crag, and underneath that, Wheaton Wood, which will soon be carpeted with beautiful pungent bluebells. I can just make out the village of Kirby Overblow on the ridge opposite. And across from there, down the Wharfe Valley towards Norrod Edge, Ilkley Moor, Otley Chevin, winding its way towards the Yorkshire Dales beyond. On a day like today, where it's sunny and beautifully lit, there really is no better place to be. We've now crested the hill and we're heading back down towards the valley below and Stubhouse Plantation from where we started this walk. It seems like ages ago because we've experienced and witnessed so much in this short space of time, which goes to show how special this place is. I'm just taking one last 360 degree sweep of the view in front of me before the trees engulf it once again. Watching the sun glint off Arthington Viaduct with the moors surrounding it. It's an audio walk I definitely won't forget today. If you've enjoyed joining me too, then you can check out more of Open Country's audio walks at opencountry.org.uk and also as podcasts on YouTube. But until the next audio walk, thank you very much once again for listening. I'll speak to you very soon indeed.